Our meeting ends tonight, and tomorrow we go back to our duties, our jobs, different things. It's going to be real important. You know, 6 months before this meeting rolls around again, if the Lord allows time to last. Going to be real important that I get a hold to something through this meeting that will carry me till that time and past that time, till the Lord calls for me. There's a verse in Isaiah 66:1 that I'd like to start with tonight. I desire your prayers. Thus saith the Lord, heaven's my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? As I look at that verse, and I'm looking at it, I'm not building a temple like they did back then. But he says, this temple, my temple, is where he's going to dwell. And so he says, what would you be able to build for me anyhow? Heaven's my throne, the earth is my footstool. But he goes to that next verse, and he says, all those things hath mine hand made, all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. This is the one that over the next 6 months that he will look to. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. The messages that we have heard this week, that as we maybe pull them offline and listen to them again, that we'll continue to tremble at his word. We're at a place today in 2012 where there's something that the world is desperately in need of, and something that we need to seek the Lord that we not lose ourselves. And that is reverence and godly fear. There is a verse in Psalms 34:11. It says, come ye children, David talking in that psalm, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. We've heard through this meeting several instances of the Lord's power and how he helped his people. They also, this one now says, let me teach you the fear of the Lord. We raise our children, giving them Bible stories. There are Bible stories that teach us the fear of the Lord. Tells us about who God is. To me, one of them is that I was thinking about this afternoon is Jericho, Joshua, and Achan. Tells us about who God is. When he says something, don't try to do any human reasoning. Take it just like he says. If he says, don't take anything, then don't take anything. Because our human reasoning, like Achan's, would be, it won't matter. But it cost them. In fact, God stopped helping them. Didn't matter how small the next town was. His help ceased until they cleared it up. We have stories in the Bible about, we've talked about them this week. Three Hebrew children and Gideon. You know how they received help from the Lord? Because they had it set. They had it fixed. They had a reverence and a fear of God on their hearts. I would like for us to go to a familiar verse in Joshua 24. You remember where he's telling the people, you need to make a choice. You need to decide what you're going to do. It says in the 15th verse of the 24th chapter of Joshua, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. For each of us to make a decision, have a decision set in our heart, it doesn't matter how many people say, I'm going to serve the gods of this world. As for me and my house, those things that I have account of, we're going to serve the Lord. I need to have that set in my heart. There's another verse in Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to a graven image. That's who God is. That's who we need to be teaching our children. This is who God is. He'll not share. He won't divide. your loyalty between him and the God of this world. It won't work. Exodus 20, where God gave his Ten Commandments. Here's how I want you to live. It's the same set of commandments that our nation today says we will not have them. A fear of God that's being lost. You know, there was a price paid in the Old Testament when people said, we're going to go after other gods. We're going to serve them. Not really worried about God's laws, his commands. We're going another direction. There was a price that consistently was paid because God didn't fight for them. There's a price being paid today in our nation because we chose as a nation, I will not have this man to reign over us. His commands will not be what we set up and have a godly fear and a reverence about. Our nation today is alarmed at all the things that are happening. The shootings of innocent children, of kindergartners. You know what? You have heard over the last few weeks the leaders of our country grappling with how do we solve this problem. And they came up with the answer. We have got to ban these assault rifles. That's going to fix it right there. That's what we have got to do. Tell you what, God has the answer. A few years ago, as a nation, we took prayer out of the schools. We will not have this man reign over us. Taking down the Ten Commandments, it's where in our country as a whole, reverence is gone. We don't hold God up like we did as a nation. And you know what? It wasn't very many years ago that it wasn't really about whether you were saved or not that you had a reverence for God. Unsaved people had a reverence for God. Just the laws of our country itself held God in a high esteem. And as the younger people probably don't even know this, but I remember as a child myself, you couldn't go buy anything on Sundays. There was nothing open. Gas stations, they're closed. You did your business through the week and you just understood there's blue laws. There's laws out that you close down everything on Sunday. That all started departing. To where today, Sunday is hardly different than any other day if you want to use your day in shopping. That is a signal of the reverence and the fear of God, just as our country, as our nation. And so now we are concerned as a nation. Why has this thing gone to the level it is, and how do we stop it? You know what? We have allowed things, and I say we as a nation, there has been things allowed. When you take God out and you replace him with, you go do whatever you want to do, nobody can stop you. And then you start having video games and you start having movies that promote this kind of thing. And you know what? There's a real thin line to some people between fantasy and reality. So we're going to promote this kind of thing that you can pick up points if you play video games killing people. But whoa, what has happened now that you would go in and do the same thing, but in reality? Our country has gone a long ways. And if we would look back at how God did it, God desired, when he gave his Ten Commandments to them, he had a fear factor that went just before it. It wasn't that, okay, everything's going along good, and I'd like for y'all to obey these rules. You remember how he presented, just before he presented the Ten Commandments to them? I'd like for us to look at that in Exodus, the 19th chapter. And he desires us, whatever it takes, that we hold a fear of God on our heart, a reverence and a respect for who he is. 19th chapter, and in the 11th verse. Starting there, he said, and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. This is God telling them, here's how I want you to do it. Set some bounds in your life. I'm coming down. My presence is going to come in your midst. But I want to tell you something. Be careful what you do with my presence being there. I wanted to have you in fear and awe. And here it says, starting in the 16th verse, it came to pass, on the third day in the morning there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Remember, today he says, to this man will I look, the one that still will tremble at his word. When I see that God says, don't do this, I still have a trembling in my heart that, Lord, I won't cross it. I realize that this unchanging God, the other day we talked about all the miracles that he did and how he still wants to do them for us today. Let's remember on the other side of that, this same God still says, have a fear and a reverence for me, because our God is also a consuming fire. So it says, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, 18th verse, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And it goes on down where the children of Israel were so afraid. And in the 21st verse says, the Lord said to Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. In other words, if they say, hey, this is an interesting sight, we're going to go on up there and touch it. We're going to get close. He wanted them to start out with having a reverence for him back then. And I want to tell you, nothing has changed in 2012. He wants us each one to still have a high level of reverence for him. Because in the very next chapter, he starts out with his Ten Commandments. There's a verse in Psalms 89 and 7. It says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. And nothing's changed. He still desires that same thing. So we start in the 20th chapter. The very first one that he gave them of the Ten Commandments was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we can say, we don't have them in America. We don't serve other gods. We do. They're all around. I work downtown in Oklahoma City, and Thunder has their offices in our office building. And on a game night, if you happen to work late, you almost can't get out of town for all the people that are serving a god of entertainment. There is a god of sports that you can give your allegiance to that causes you to not fear God like he was trying to get them to do here. Because he was saying, don't serve other gods. Thou shalt not make any unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. And then he tells us a little bit, starts to tell us a little bit about himself. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I desire you to give me all your affection, and don't share it with another. You know, we read in the Bible, there are words given for who God is. One of them is Jehovah, an unchanging God. I love that word. But you know what? He himself gave himself another word. In Exodus 34, he says, this is who I am. 34, and in the 12th verse, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. He says, this is my name. Call me jealous. Because I created you, and I won't share your affection with another. And there are so many gods that are out in this world today. There was, you would think, after the children of Israel had seen that kind of manifestation, and then God gave them 10 commandments, they would have never strayed from that. You know what? It was just days later that Moses was up on the mount, didn't come down when they had expected him to. And you remember that? In Exodus 32, they said to Aaron, I want you to make us another god. They still had a desire to go to the promised land. They wanted to do it their way. And I want to tell you, we're living in that kind of time today. Everybody wants to go to heaven in the end. But a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll say, I want to do it my way. So to Aaron, they said, make us a god. And you know, I wish the story would say, because you know what? Aaron had been one of those that just a few days before that had stood in the presence of God with the 70 elders. He had seen God in that setting. Looks like there would have been something, a reverence and a fear would have been on Aaron that would not have been lost, at least for a long time. But instead, when these children of Israel asked, we want it done, Aaron was the one that took the graven tool and made it for them. He fashioned it. There's a verse in Isaiah 58 and 1. It says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Today, that's the call going out to God's ministers. These gods that are around us, I wish we could say that back then, that Aaron would have said, I'll die before I carve you out any other god, because there's none to compare to the one that I just saw. But instead, he did. He engraved it himself. He made it himself. In 2012 today, there are ministers that a few years ago would have said, I'll die before I encourage you to serve the God of this world. And today, there are ministers that have taken the engraving tool and said, we can partake of both. Tonight, I would like for us each one to be stirred to have, you're going to need the reverence and fear of God on our hearts individually in this day and time that we're living in. The places that we read about where God said, want you to fear me, we need to fear him. Even though maybe back there it was in the Old Testament, I want to tell you it comes on to the New Testament and it doesn't change for us. We have read in the past, and if we separate this from the fear of God, we do ourselves some damage. In 1 John 2 and 15 and 17 where it says, it still says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This God that back in Exodus said, go ahead and call me jealous, because I will not participate in you serving me and serving other. Jesus gave us the same instruction. He said, you can't do it. We can try. He said, it won't happen. We may say, okay, I can split the two. God won't be there. We will have to manufacture something to fill that place. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God never changes. So I need to start going back and start familiarizing myself with who God is. There's a place, and I'd like for you, when you have time, to go through and read it. It's in Numbers 4, where as they were taking the tabernacle and moving it, as the children of Israel were moving toward the promised land, they had the most holy place still. They had the ark that had to be moved from place to place. And God gave them real clear instructions. Here's how you do it. Now, have you moved before? How do you move? You know, my kind of moving is, okay, usually when I'm fixing to move, I'm in a hurry. Let's get the biggest boxes we can and just pile stuff in them. Fill them up. Let's get going. We'll sort it when we get to the other end of it. God didn't do it that way. It didn't matter how much you needed to hurry. There's a procedure. And he said back then, don't cross this procedure. Because if you do, you'll die. You know, there was times that even the priest that was to go in and minister in the most holy place, he had specific instructions. You do it just this way, step by step, or he won't be coming out of there alive. You know, all that was intended to build a respect, a reverence for the most holy God. With these people, there was a family of the Levites called the Kohathites. You'll find them there in Numbers 4. And God himself said, I have a special assignment for this group of the Levites. They will be the ones that carry the things from the most holy. I assigned them to do it. And he gave real clear instructions because they would lose their life if they didn't do it that way. They said, these Kohathites said, don't ever go into the room until Aaron and his sons, the priest, tell you it's ready. And he said, because if you happen to see it with your eyes, if you happen to see the ark, you'll die. The most holy things. And he told them, he said, I want you to cover it. There are, I believe it was 3 different coverings that were put over the ark before it was carried, before it was to be moved. There is a little saying that says, familiarity breeds contempt. What does that have to do with this? You know what? If that tabernacle would have been just a casual, if they had gotten real casual about holy things, look, come on. It's just a place to worship. Let's load it up and get going. It wouldn't have been long till that ark wouldn't have meant what it meant when God said, make sure you cover it before you take it. Just can we sit down here and figure out why would it matter? It mattered to him because what it did was it kept their level of reverence up high to him. He told them, he said, don't touch it lest you die. He said, I've got a certain way that you are to carry the ark. You're to put staves through it. You'll not touch the ark. You'll touch it only from the staves to carry it. Do you remember a story on down the road? And I tried to find out, my Bible doesn't have the dates in it. I tried to find out how long was it from the time God gave that instruction until one day a man with the best of intentions, when the ark was on a cart being hauled by David, with everybody rejoicing around it, and a man named Uzzah reached out his hand because he thought it was going to turn over, and he died right there. My guess, just looking at a little graph that I had, it could have been 400 years or more later. You know, you have sometimes when you're going down the road and the officer pulls you over and he says, you're driving, it happened to me just recently, he said, you're driving 45 miles an hour in a 35-mile speed zone. It didn't make a bit of difference for me to tell him, sir, I didn't know. Because we have that other saying that says, ignorance is no excuse. For this, God didn't say, you know what, Uzzah probably didn't read those scriptures that said 400 years ago, don't touch this. There's a certain way for you to carry it. You know what, the chief priests, the priests themselves, failed. They should have said, you know what, before we ever haul this ark, there's a certain way to do it. We're going to put the staves back in, just like he said. You know, we're living in a time where there's a lot of technology today. And if we're not careful, we will make us, how we worship God, different than what God requires. And I tell you, I've been thinking about myself. We get so used to coming to service 3 times a week. I wonder, do I have the reverence for God that I should have? That I'm coming into the presence of the Almighty God each time that I come to meeting. You know, I can come to service tired and have my mind on other things. And I don't think this is to chastise us or me, but just to help us to start thinking. God wants us to have a reverence and a godly fear for Him. He required it back then. And there was another place where He told those Kohathites, He said, do not look at it without it being covered. If you look at it without it being covered, you'll die. And however many years it was, you remember, years later, when the Philistines had the battle and they took the ark, they didn't know about it needing to be covered. They just took it because they set it up with Dagon. Now we've got two gods here in this temple. The next day, Dagon's laying over. The following day, Dagon's broke up. And you remember when they started, we're in trouble, people getting sick. And they said, we're going to send it to the next town. They get it sick, send it to the next town. They said, we don't want it. You remember then they put it on the ark? It wasn't covered. It didn't have the staves in it. They're sending it back to Israel. And when it got there, the people of Beth Shemesh, it came there, and as they saw it coming back, they were so happy to see this ark. It wasn't covered. The way we are as a human, this is the time. It's already been out there and been defiled, and the priests are going to take care of putting it back into service. But I would love to see what's in it. Just this once. I'll never get the opportunity again. There's a lot of question about what that verse reads, but I'll just give it to you like it says. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they looked into the ark of the Lord. And it was over 50,000 men is what it says in that verse. If it was one, it was too many. God desires me to have a level of reverence and respect. Another example that's given to us is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. The Queen of Sheba, when she came to visit him, one of the things that she was impressed with, his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. It was recognized that this king is the greatest on earth, and she came to visit him. And when she watched him go up to worship the Lord, she was impressed. Because, you know what, I don't believe she saw him go up as an equal to God himself. I believe there was something she saw of this great king just in how he approaches to worship God. I believe it was with a carefulness. And in 1 Kings, in the 9th chapter, there were times where God gave Solomon some promises. I'm going to do this for you. In the 9th chapter, and in the 3rd verse, it says, the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Now that's quite a promise. Forever. I will be your God because I have accepted your sacrifice here and what you have built for me. And he said, and if thou wilt walk before me, we start finding one little word that goes in here. It says, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Kind of like it'd still be going on today, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But the 6th verse turns it around. In the 6th verse he says, but if, not just if now, but if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set up before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have hallowed, you would think, well, he'd say, this house, I'm going to always be there because I promised. This house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss. And they shall say, Why hath the Lord done this thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, Reverence and godly fear could be gone. They shall answer, They forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and have taken hold upon other gods. This is God himself talking to Solomon. Here's what's going to happen to you, should it happen. Solomon, the man that wrote Proverbs, so much instruction for other people, so much instruction for his son. And in two chapters, 2 Kings 11, he falls. Says he married wives. Back then, as they would make affinity with other nations, that was one of the practices is, we will marry his daughter. We will bring her in. Well, that daughter also has some beliefs. She has her own way of worshiping. And the second verse of the 11th chapter, first verse says, But King Solomon loved many strange women. And this strange woman was, We don't serve the same God that you do. We have one that we serve just like you serve yours. Of the nations, second verse, Concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave to these in love. Comes on down in the fourth verse. Came to pass when Solomon was old. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Fifth verse says, he started going after these other gods. The one that God had come down with a personal experience, a personal visit to him. You remember the other one where God came down to him and said, Solomon, taking a look at you, you just ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, I need a heart to be able to, give me some wisdom to be able to guide these people. Now, Solomon has lived a few more years and the gods of this world got a hold to him. He lost the reverence and respect, the wisest man that ever lived. I need to have such a carefulness in this day that I'm living in. It's now, to me, it's now down to an individual matter. You're going to have to decide, as Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. We have heard through this meeting, give him all you've got. Give him everything. Brother Marty talking to us, I was listening to it again this afternoon, letting us know, you know what? None of this makes sense if you haven't put your heart into it, if you haven't given it everything. To young people, I want to tell you, the gods of this world are calling. They're beckoning. But I want to tell you, as God said back then, I will not share my glory with another. It's still the same today. We may manufacture a little religion and feel like God still accepts me. But he says, I'm already gone. I'm through. So, I want to bring it down to where we live today. Matthew, in the 22nd chapter. And in the second verse, it says, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And it goes on down. We've read this story many times. All of us have read it. But it goes on down that in the 10th verse, at the end of the 10th verse, it says the wedding was furnished with guests. It says when the king, 11th verse, when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Well, there is a song that was written a few years ago that says, I did it my way. There are many people today that are choosing to serve God. They're willing to serve God their way. This one, this man, chose to attend the wedding his way. I've wondered in the past, I used to look at that and say, wow, that sure was, I mean, I thought it was something for them to enjoy. And look at this, this poor man, just because he didn't have on the clothing that they said, maybe he couldn't afford it. You know what? I'm convinced he didn't have to afford it. It was there at the door for him to put on, and he chose not to. He said in his heart, I can do it my way. We don't want to do that with God. Remember, not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament also, that we're dealing with God Almighty. And he has told us, I won't share my glory with another. I want to go to Hebrews in the 12th chapter. And in the 25th verse, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth. And I look at this one back at the event that we were talking about where God spoke to him and the times where Moses spoke to him. If those people then chose to refuse what was being told to them, if they didn't escape, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven with what we have today? There was back then to the Kohathites and to many other people, it was obedience or physical death. Ananias and Sapphira, when they did not have the reverence and respect, the godly fear for God that they should have had, when they did what they did, they fell over dead. And it said, great fear. It produced fear on all the people that was around it. There was nobody saying, you know what, I'm going to do this thing half-hearted service myself and see if I can make it. He didn't, but I think I might. Mm-mm. In fact, it went on to say, of the rest, durst no man join himself. There was nobody playing religion then. They were serious about it because they realized, you know what? God is requiring a godly fear from me. But I want to tell you, we're living in a dangerous time today because that doesn't happen. In 2 Thessalonians, I'd like to look at a verse there. Second chapter. And in the 10th verse. If today, when people chose to not have a level of respect or the fear of God on their heart, and they say, I'm still going to live for God, and they fell over dead physically, we would have a fear about that. There's something worse than that happening today. As far as me having a reverence and respect for God. 2:10, it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth of who God is and the level of respect that I need to have for him. Because they receive not a love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God stepped in and assisted them. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Not fall over dead physically, but feel like everything is fine until I go out and stand before him when I can't make any corrections. To me, that's worse because I can look on that and say, looks like that's going along fine. I thought there was going to be some trouble from that, and there's no trouble. In fact, they say things are going better for them now than it was before. Take heed. God is still alive, and God is still saying, I'm not going to share my glory with another. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. When I look around me, and I see people that are saying, because we're living in a dangerous time today, it wasn't but a few years ago, then when people said, you know what, I no longer want to be saved. I want to follow after the things of the world. I know I'm not saved. And I know if I died tonight, I'd be lost. You hear that anymore? Very seldom. No one's unsaved anymore. I just don't see it like I used to before. I can now get by with doing all that and God will accept it. I just want to caution us all, myself included. God is unchanging. What he said back then is still the same today. Just because no one has fallen over dead physically, we're still serving the same God. I must have a level of respect, a reverence for him, because what he will do now is almost worse than what he would do back then. Back then, Ananias and Sapphira, two people died, and many people got the fear of God on their heart. Today, they can walk away, and if not careful, deceive other people along with them. I need to be very careful, because there is still a law in place. 1 Peter 1:15. It still reads the same, and it will until God comes back. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And this fear factor, this reverence and respect, 17th verse says, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. With this level of respect that I'm talking to you tonight with, pass your time of traveling through this life with that level of respect. Don't let the other catch you. Because just because God doesn't pass judgment today, the Bible's still the same. I'd like to go back and close with there in Hebrews. There in the 12th chapter. Where it says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. It says in the 26th verse, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And the 28th verse says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear. And that last verse says, for our God is a consuming fire. He would like to use that fire to consume the things that he shows me in my life that can become a god of this world to me, and I start serving it. Should I choose? No. I'm going to do it my way. I believe I can meet him in the end with peace. The consuming fire will be at the end of it. I'd like, for in closing, for us to sing number 404. A great sacrifice. It says God is sweeping through the nations with an awful searching eye. Every spot of imperfection must be purged or hope must die. God has not changed. He's still requiring me to have that same level of a carefulness as I walk through this life. And I believe it is in the third verse of that song that he says, I'm going to keep it pure. I'm not going to let it go down. So here's what he says. To preserve her pure and spotless, he must make a sacrifice. You know, it says in 2 Peter 3, he's not willing that any would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. But we're going to have to do it his way. I'm going to have a level of respect and godly fear for him throughout my life. Tonight, the meeting's over and I'm stirred to move closer to the Lord. 6 months from now. Young people, I want to tell you, get a hold of God. As we heard throughout this meeting, make him your whole choice. Don't do half-hearted service, because you're not going to enjoy it and you're going to be lost in the end, because we still serve a God that says, I want it all or I'll take nothing. Pray for me.